Proverbs 11, verses 1 and verse 3. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Let's pray again and ask God to help us understand what He's saying, that He would speak to us by His Spirit through His Word and change us. Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the treasure chest of Your Word. God, so many areas, aspects You address, everything we need to be equipped to be godly and follow You faithfully. And so, Lord, we pray that You would come and be with us again. We thank You that we're Your children. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You delight in us, that You sing over us. We thank You that we sit here today as forgiven and beloved children. And, Lord, we want to hear from our Father. And so we pray, God, that You would come and be among us, that You would guide us and lead us, that You would shepherd our hearts. Father, we pray that You would convict us, Lord, of where we need to repent, Father, and that we would repent, God. Grant repentance today where repentance is needed, and grant faith where faith is needed. Lord, if there's anyone among us who is yet to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we pray that today would be the day of salvation, that today, Lord, You would save. Oh, God, that there would be rejoicing in heaven today over one sinner that repents. And so, God, do it. We pray for one sinner, two sinners, all sinners who don't know You, Lord. We pray that You would save. And so be with us and help us today. Hear from You for Jesus' sake. Amen. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ loves truth and hates lies. And He loves justice and He hates injustice, wherever it is. This is true in the smallest matters of your personal lives. The money that you charge or the money that you spend at the market. God cares about us charging the right amount for goods and services. And He cares about us paying the right amount for goods and services in the marketplace. The pennies in your pocketbook are part of God's pervasive plan to pursue you toward perfection. God cares about the pennies in your pocketbook. He cares. He meddles that much. I've heard people talk about the pastor, he's preaching and he's starting to meddle. My friends, God meddles. He meddles to the inmost parts of your mind and thoughts and heart and being. Oh, he will get in there and divide and show you what's right and wrong. He cares about the details of your lives. Charles Bridges, a commentator of the book of Proverbs, said this amazing statement. Let this land on you. Is it not a solemn thought that the eye of God marks all of our common dealings of life, either as an abomination or as a delight? Let that land on you as we look at this proverb today, that all the common dealings of your life, he's talking about balances and weight and what you spend at the marketplace and how much you charge your friend to mow your lawn. All those actions in the marketplace and in life are either marked by God as an abomination or as a delight. Life is serious. Life is serious. And to God, you followers of Jesus, every detail matters to Him. God cares about the details of our lives. And if those details are not shaped and governed by God's truth and God's justice, if the details of our lives are not in submission to God's truth and God's justice, then we are not submitting to Christ. And what do we need to do? We need to get to know Him more. You see, that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. If we have problems in these areas, truth and justice and honesty with charging and buying, then we have a problem with Christ. We need to get to know Christ more. We need to submit to Christ more. We need to trust Christ more. We need to be more shaped into the image of Christ. We have the mind of Christ as believers. We have the mind of Christ. That's a truth. If you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. And these Proverbs, inspired by the Spirit of God, are meant to urge you to live like it. You have the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters. Live like it. Live like it. And so we're going to meditate on these Proverbs and pray that the Spirit of God would cause us to live like who we are, having the mind of Christ, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we live like it for the glory of God the Father. And so point number one, the Lord hates falsehood and injustice. The Lord hates falsehood and injustice. Proverbs 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. You know, one thing a sermon ought to do is just make you slow down and help you meditate on God's Word. Often we read the Word of God quickly and we pass over it and go to the next verse. But a sermon is supposed to just make you slow down. Let's just slow down and let's together think about what God is saying. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. What's the context here? Well, in ancient Israel, they traded and bought and sold goods and services based on weight. And they used a balance to weigh out the goods. And so you could adjust the balance so that you're getting more than you should. You adjust the balance or the weight, and so you're not really giving the buyer a fair share. Basically, this proverb addresses the evil of using a false balance to cheat people out of their money, to get one over on somebody. You know, I'm going to use a false balance, and so what I'm giving him is really only worth $5, but I'm charging him $10 because that's what my false balance says. That's what's going on here. And the text says that this cheating someone out of money is an abomination to the Lord. The Lord hates falsehood. Abomination is a strong word. A strong word used by the Lord of intense hatred and dislike. The Lord hates this false balance. It's an abomination to Him. The Lord hates falsehood. And friend, we ought to just be praying, Lord, is there any way in my life there's falsehood? Friend, we're so blind. We are so blind. And so we need to ask the Lord, Lord, where is there falsehood? Where is there falsehood? Help me to be a man or woman or child of truth. In Revelation 21:8, we read these words. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. All those sins, including all liars, God will cast into the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Or Revelation 22, 14 through 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Praise God, there's good news for liars. Oh, friend, if you don't think that you're a liar, you don't know yourself well enough. Those of you who are sitting there thinking, I'm glad I always tell the truth. I'm glad I'm not a liar. Oh, friend, you're the one that needs the most help today. You're the one that needs the most help. Oh, friend, we the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? But friend, there's a great Savior. There's a great Savior who washes us clean from all our lying and untruth and failure to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. There's a Savior, and we hear about Him. Those who wash their robes. But outside, look at verse 15 of Revelation 22. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Everyone who loves and practices falsehood. You see, Christians aren't those who practice falsehood. We stumble and we tell untruths, but when we're confronted with them, we repent. That's what a Christian is. Someone who hates untruth and longs to be truthful. Longs to be truthful. They repent. The Lord hates falsehood. And also we see in this text, the Lord not only hates falsehood, a false balance. The Lord hates as an abomination. But what is that false balance used for? It's used for a lie. To get one over on somebody and get more money than you should get. The Lord hates not only falsehood, but He hates injustice. That is not right. It is not right to take someone's money more than they owe you. It is injustice. The Lord hates falsehood, but He also hates injustice. Zephaniah 3:5, the Lord within her is righteous. He does no injustice. Oh, our God does no injustice. Every morning He shows forth His justice. And the prophets even call Israel out for this very sin of unjust balances. You see this all over the prophets. I'll just give you one. Micah 6, verses 11 through 13. Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales? And with a bag of deceitful weights? Your rich men are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore I strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sins. The Lord hates injustice. Amen. He hates injustice. He hates falsehood. And the Lord hates these things in the smallest parts of your life. In the smallest part of my life, He hates these things. God hates it when you tell lies. Amen. Children, when mom and dad come home and there's a mess in the room and they ask what happened and you tell a story, you don't tell the truth. God hates that. It's an abomination when we don't tell the truth. It's an abomination when we buy something at the store and notice that they didn't charge us what they should have charged us. And we say, ha, got one over on them. And just keep on walking. That's an abomination to the Lord. That's an abomination. He hates it when you cheat on your taxes. You know, I know some people, when they do a job, they'll say, oh, can you pay me in cash? Because they don't want to report it. Friend, that's an abomination to the Lord. That's an abomination to the Lord. And we laugh, but what Michael said is true. Friend, if we stood before a holy God, we would not laugh. We would not. We would not. We would bow before Him. And all those little things we consider white lies and okay and I'm covered by the blood. Oh, my friend, we would feel the weight of God's holiness. And yes, praise God, we are covered by the blood. But being covered by the blood will drive us to holiness. To drive us to forsake injustice and falsehood. God hates it when we try to rip people off when we sell them something. We know it's only worth that, but we're going to charge this because we can get a little bit more money. God hates it when we rip people off that way. God hates it when we don't work hard for our employer and give them a full hour's work for an hour of wage. That's an abomination to the Lord. And so, friend, again, we ought to ask, Lord, Lord, search me. Lord, my heart is deceitful. I have a way too high opinion of myself. Father, by Your Spirit, come and search me. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked, unjust, untrue way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me to repentance. Pray to the Lord that way. The Lord not only hates falsehood and injustice in the smallest matters, but He hates injustice and falsehood in the largest matters in this universe. Yes. God hates injustice in the criminal justice system. He hates it. He hates injustice. He hates when people in authority lie and lead unjustly and act unjustly. God hates the injustice done to slaves all around the world today. You know there's modern slavery where millions of people are still enslaved. God hates that injustice. God hates racial and ethnic injustice. He hates the injustice done to the millions of babies that are aborted in this world. 1.4 billion babies have been slaughtered since 1980 alone. And God says, abominable. Abominable. We ought to be amazed that He didn't rain down fire and brimstone like He did on Sodom and Gomorrah on the United States of America this morning. We ought to be amazed at that. Well, friend, let me remind you that we have good news. In the face of all the injustices and falsehoods that we personally have committed, or even if you've been a part of those large injustices of the world, we have a great gospel. We are great sinners, as Newton said, but we have a great Savior. We have a great Savior, and all God the Father's anger and rage and abominable feelings toward falsehood and injustice, they were poured out on Jesus on the cross. Jesus was counted as falsehood. Jesus was counted as injustice. Though He knew no falsehood and He knew no injustice, He was counted as that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we may be counted as just who are unjust and be saved. Friend, that is the good news of the gospel. And so I ask you here this morning, if you're here and you have not trusted in Christ as your Savior, friend, God has abominable feelings toward you because you are doing a great injustice to God, and He's angry. And so come to the only one who can save you. Come to the only one who can forgive you. Come to the only one who can make the injustice right. Come to Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to Him who died and rose and stands ready with open arms to say, come and believe. Believe on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you'd like to talk to me afterwards, I would love to speak with you about this. Come to Him and believe in Him. Point number two, the Lord not only hates injustice and falsehood, but He delights in justice and truth. He delights in justice and truth. Look at verse 1 again. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Again, the context in ancient Israel, one of the ways wicked sellers and buyers would cheat people out of their money was by using a stone that weighed less than it was supposed to weigh. And so the stone is marked 10 pounds. And so the man thinks he's getting 10 pounds worth of grain, but the seller has carved little creases and crevices in that stone and drilled little unnoticeable holes. And so the stone really only weighs 8 pounds, but it's marked 10 pounds. And so he's giving the person 8 pounds of grain and charging him for the price of 10. But the text says, a just weight is God's delight. Literally, a stone of completeness, a stone of perfection is the Lord's delight. The Lord delights in justice. He delights in it. It delights His soul, makes Him happy. Yes, Lord. Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loves justice. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Isaiah 61:8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. And not only does the Lord delight in justice, but the Lord delights in truth. The Lord delights in truth. Psalm 51:6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. In the inward being. He searches our hearts and delights in truth in the inward being. Oh, Father, let me speak and think the truth in my inward being. Hebrews 6:18 is impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. The Lord delights in truth. He's known as the God of truth. In Isaiah 65, 16, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth in John 14, 17. The Lord delights in truth. And the Lord delights in justice and truth in the smallest matters of your life. He delights in justice and truth in the smallest matters of your life. He delights when you tell the truth. He delights in that. When you tell the truth, even when it may hurt you. When you swear to your own hurt, but you tell the truth. Children, when you tell the truth to mommy and daddy, God delights in that. He delights in the truth. When you buy something at the store and notice, wow, I know that should have at least been $10 or $15, but they only charged me $3. Yes. And you don't think, ha, got one over on them. Freebie for me. But you say, I follow Christ. I'm a Christ follower. I'm going to go back and ask about this. That's what Christ followers do. And God delights in that. He delights in that. And that's an amazing witness to the person who sold you that. That's an amazing witness to the person who sold you that. The Lord delights in justice and truth in the smallest matters of your life. He delights when you pay your taxes justly and holy. The Lord delights in that. Paying taxes is worship for the Christian. Did you know that? Did you know that all of life is worship for the Christian? Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. He delights it. He delights in truth when you pay your taxes and justice. He delights in these small matters. He delights in honest business practices. He delights in honest business practices. He delights when you work hard and honestly for your employer. God delights in that. And not only does the Lord delight in justice and truth in the smallest matters of your life, but He delights in justice and truth in the largest matters of this universe. The Lord delights when the criminal justice system is just and righteous, and those who are guilty are punished with a righteous punishment. And He delights when those who are not guilty are acquitted. He delights in that. He delights when people in authority are honest and lead and act justly. He delights when justice is done for slaves in the past in America, and slaves today when they're set free by these workers for International Justice Mission. And He delights when slaves are freed forever through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God delights in racial and ethnic harmony and justice. He delights in that. He delights it when we love one another regardless of what we look like and we're treated equally and fairly. He delights in that. He delights when babies are saved outside the abortion clinic. My brother and friend John Barros, who's down at that clinic in Orlando 6 days a week, 9 hours a day, seen 1,000 babies saved. God delights in that. He delights in justice for the unborn. Friend, I wonder if I ask you today, what is the greatest injustice in the universe? What is the greatest injustice in the universe? Think how you would answer that question. Just silently. Think how you would answer that question. What is the greatest injustice in the universe? I want to take some time to think about that. I wonder if it includes in the definition you. Because my definition includes me and you.
Amen, amen.
In the greatest injustice in the universe. Friend, the greatest injustice in the universe is your sin and my sin against a holy God. That's the greatest tragedy and injustice in the universe. But praise God. Praise God, we have a Savior. We have a Savior who has acted so that your sin is cast behind the Lord's back and remembered no more, cast into the depths of the ocean floor. Oh, this is good news, friend. Jesus came. Jesus came, and He said in John 7:18, the one who seeks the glory of Him who sent Him is true. He's talking about Himself. And in Him, there is no falsehood. There is no falsehood in Jesus. No injustice in Jesus. But there is a great injustice, namely that God would forgive sinners. Friend, have you wrestled with that? Have you ever wrestled with the injustice it is that a holy God would forgive you of your sins? Have you ever wondered, Lord, how can you forgive me? That's not right. It's not just. It's the very wrestling that Paul has, inspired by the Spirit in Romans 3, verses 23 through 26. I want to read this with you. Romans 3, 23 through 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood. Any children out there know what the word propitiation means? And want to say it out loud? Yes, Kate. Say it one more time. Yes, and how old are you, Kate? 4 years old? Five. She's five now. Friends, she knows what the word propitiation means. Do you? Propitiation, friends. God's loving, anger-removing sacrifice. God's loving, anger-removing sacrifice. Jesus was put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Notice this next sentence. This was to show God's righteousness. God needed to show His righteousness because something had been done to cast His righteousness into question. This was to show God's righteousness because what was it that was done to make the world think God is unrighteous? Because in His divine forbearance or divine patience, He had passed over former sins. He had passed over sins. He had not punished sin as it deserved up until the cross. He passed over sins, and this made Him look unrighteous. Not only did it make Him look unrighteous, but if it weren't for the cross, He would not be righteous. That's what the next verse says. Verse 26. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just. So that He might be just. The cross happened so that God might be just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. See, justice gets at the heart of the cross. You see, unlike Muslims who would say that God just forgives sins because He's a benevolent being, our God, the true God, He can't just forgive sins. Because He's not only a benevolent being, He is a just being, a holy being. And He cannot just sweep sin under the rug. Sin has to be dealt with. And so how did God the Father deal with sin? Propitiation. Propitiation. Jesus is the anger-removing sacrifice where God the Father counted the Son as sin and poured out His wrath, His abominational wrath on His Son that we might be forgiven justly so that God might be just. Every sin is punished. There's no sin in the universe that will not be punished. Every sin will be punished either at the cross or in hell. You see, God will do perfect justice. Now the good news for us is we can go to the cross. Go to the cross today, my friend. If you have not come to the cross, friend, hell awaits you where God will get His justice from you. But you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You want mercy through the cross. And so justice and mercy kiss at the cross. That's where God has done justice to sin that He might have mercy in Christ. And so come to Him. Believe in Him. If you're a believer here, rejoice. praise God. Thank you, Father, for crushing your Son in my place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And finally, for those of us who've tasted this sweet gift of God's mercy in Christ, the integrity of followers of Jesus demands that we live out justice and truth. The integrity of followers of Jesus demands that we live out justice and truth. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So I want to make a pinpointed application of this verse to what we've been talking about of matters of justice and truth. We spoke last week about what integrity was. Integrity is basically complete loyalty to the Lord. Innocence, righteousness, godliness, confessing sin. It doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean sinless. It means confessing your sin. Friend, do you understand what Jesus told Peter? Peter thought he was being so gracious when he asked Jesus in Matthew 18, "Lord, when someone sins against me, how many times must I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Peter thought he was being so gracious. 2 times 3 plus 1. And what did Jesus say? "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And I don't believe Jesus meant multiply that and come up with 490. When they get to 491, you're done. No. He's saying as many times as it takes, as many times as they repent, as many times as they come back and say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." That's what King Jesus said. I don't write the mail. As Vodi says, I just deliver it. That's what King Jesus says. So it's turning from sin. It's not being sinless. It's turning from sin. It's repenting. It's trusting the Lord. It's obedience to the Lord. It's seeking to grow in obedience to the Lord. That's what it means to have integrity. And integrity, as a follower of Jesus, means walking in obedience to commands like Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16 is really the backstory behind Proverbs 11, 1. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16, God commands His people in His perfect holy law, "You shall not have in your bag 2 kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house 2 kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and a fair weight you shall have. A full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly are an abomination to the Lord your God." Amen. Integrity means that we will be truthful and honest in our dealings in commerce. Integrity means that we'll walk in obedience to Psalm 82, 3 through 4. "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." Maybe God is calling some of you today to go into politics. As you see the corruption, as you see the wickedness, as you see the falsehood, maybe God is calling you to obey Psalm 82, to give justice to the weak and the fatherless, to maintain the right of the afflicted, to rescue the weak and needy. And so you want to study political science and you want to run for office and be a godly, God-fearing, Christ-loving, justice-seeking politician. Like William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce loved the Lord Jesus. He was a born-again man, a saved man, and God used him to abolish the slave trade in Great Britain. Maybe God is calling some of you to do that. Maybe God is calling some of you to be like a John Barris. "I can only go to the abortion clinic twice a month." But maybe He's calling some of you who are retired to go there more often. To stand in the gap. To stand for justice for the unborn. And just so one thing's clear, the reason we go to the abortion clinic isn't because it was my bright idea. It's because Ted Waters saw people. Yeah. That wasn't spearheaded by me. That was spearheaded by Ted Waters, who saw people standing in front of Einstein's giving out literature to save babies. And so that's why we go. Thank you, Brother Ted. You see, God works in His people to spring up grassroots ministries from the bottom to the top through the Word and by the power of the Spirit. Maybe God is calling some of you to walk in obedience that way. Integrity means walking in obedience to Micah 6:8. Some of you may know the song. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Integrity means walking in obedience to the golden rule. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And so if you don't want to be cheated out of your money, right? Why would you cheat somebody else out of theirs? Yes. Treat others as you want to be treated, Jesus says. Integrity means walking in obedience to 1 Corinthians 6:7 through 8, which says to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. So what's going on? Paul's addressing church members taking one another to court, suing one another. And Paul is saying it ought not to be in God's church. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit is speaking. Why not suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brother. The Spirit is saying, you have a problem with your church member? Let them take advantage of you. It's better that you be defrauded than you go to court before unbelievers and give a bad name to King Jesus. Oh, we don't like that. We like our rights. It's my right. I have my right. It's not fair. And the Spirit says, go back to where you came from, Mr. Rights. Mr., I need fairness. You follow a Savior. Oh, friends, we follow a Savior who suffered injustice. We follow a Savior who did not get what was fair. We follow a Savior who was defrauded. And so we follow in His footsteps. We follow in His footsteps. And Paul is exhorting these Corinthians, don't take one another to court. Don't take one another to court. Work it out. Humble yourself enough to work it out. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of your selfishness. Get rid of your thinking about yourself and think about Jesus and His glory and think about one another and put one another before yourself. That's what the Spirit says. Integrity means walking in obedience to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Integrity means walking in obedience to Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Friend, that's what integrity looks like. It's what it looks like to be guided by integrity, that we will seek truth and seek justice. And this text says if we fail to walk in integrity, look at the warning. In verse 3, the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. The crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. And so the wicked store owner who thinks he's getting over and getting more money than he deserves, it's going to destroy him. His wickedness is going to destroy him. He's not getting one over. He's not getting one over because God sees all. God knows. He knows everything. He knows the motives and intents of the mind and heart. God knows. And this wickedness, this evilness, this crookedness, this falsehood, it will destroy the wicked. And friend, again, we need to think, if you're here not a believer, this is what awaits you, destruction. If you're not a believer in Christ, destruction awaits you in hell forever. But there's there's a great reward. There's a great reward for those who walk in integrity. There's a great reward. Friend, it's unimaginable. No eyes seen, no ears heard, no mind conceived of what God has planned for those who love Him. Oh, the reward. The reward. Let me give you one place this reward is stated. Psalm 11:7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see His face. Upright men will see His face. This is the reward of the upright man and woman, those who walk in integrity. We will see His face. We will see His face. There will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He will wipe away the tears from our eyes, and we will experience everlasting joy forever as we gaze upon the beauty of our Savior. This is the reward. And why? Why do we have strong confidence and certain assurance that this great reward is ours? I've said it before and I'll say it again. Because of the Father's great love. The Father's great love in sending His Son. The one who obeyed. The one who was just. The one who is righteous. And because He gave us His Spirit. No one loved justice like Jesus. No one loved justice like Jesus. No one did justice like Jesus. No one loved truth like Jesus. No one did the truth like Jesus. He is the truth. There's no one like Jesus who lived this out before us to see. And yet it was Him. It was Him who was counted as the unjust one. Suffered, bruised, beaten, smitten and afflicted, crushed, that we might be saved. Jesus is the Lord's delight. He is the Lord's delight. He's true and just and always right. Integrity that's out of sight. He died for justice in God's sight and rose to conquer death's dark night. He's your reward. He is your reward and heaven's light. Friend, in Christ. In Christ, I want to end by reminding you that you are the Lord's delight. You, Christian, in all your failures, in all your growth that needs to happen, in truth-telling and justice-doing, in all your sin that you still struggle with, dear believer, you are the Lord's delight. You have been made just by the Justifier, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been made just because He has died and He is raised and He lives forevermore to save and help you. You have been filled with truth because Jesus dwells in you. The Spirit of truth is in you. You are filled with truth. And Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes delight in His people." Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we come to You as children, knowing that You delight in us. You smile upon us. Lord, we know, Lord, if we're honest, Father, we know we have areas to grow in truth-telling and honesty. We have room to grow, Lord, in justice, doing justice and seeking justice and acting justly. And Father, since you dwell in us, the Holy Spirit, we want to grow. And so, Lord, we pray You would come and be among us, that You would show us ways in which we're doing things that are an abomination to You. And we pray, God, that You would rid them of our lives. Change our hearts. Work in us. Make us more like Christ. More holy. More justice-doing. Justice-seeking. Justice-telling. Justice-acting. More truth-loving. Truth-telling. Truth-seeking. And Father, we pray that You would remind us that You delight in the truth-telling that we do, in the justice that we do seek after. That it's not true that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. People misinterpret that verse all the time, but that is Christians, as Christians, born-again Christians who have the Spirit of God, we do good works that you ordained before that we should walk in them, and we give you delight. And so, Lord, we pray more and more we would do these good works that you ordain that we should walk in, that are really good and give you delight. Lord, may we be zealous for these good deeds, and may you delight in our actions for the glory of our King. We ask it for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.